Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of Rooted Deep, a podcast featuring Reba Bowman and Allison Hale.
And welcome to the Rooted Deep podcast. I'm here with my co-host, Allison Hale, and we are digging into what I think are some fun, maybe that's the wrong word, but some good summer topics, right?
It's definitely good summer topics. It's good and practical. It's something that's happening to everybody or something that we know, we have experience and we understand what it is. And I think it's important because like you said, it goes back to, these are definitely topics that everybody's dealing with. It's topics that everybody's going through. And it's like, let's walk with this together as a community. Let's check in on each other. I think this is really important, especially, you know, the last podcast about holy interruptions. Check in. If you know that somebody's been interrupted, you know, check in on them. And today, if you see somebody in this cycle, check in. I think community is so important. And this is what we like about talking to each other about this.
Yeah.
Because I think you've checked in on me on a couple of these. You're like, really? You really think that's a good idea?
Yeah, and vice versa. You know, it's like, okay, what are you sure that's a good call?
Yeah.
You know, and that's kind of where we're going today, because we are really, like, for some people, you're in it, because we're rolling into August here.
Yeah.
And for some of you guys, school is in full swing, right?
Yeah.
And others of you, it's just getting started. But it's these seasonal cyclical changes when we roll out of the summer months and we get into August, even though technically August is still, I don't know what happened. When I was in school, we did not go till after Labor Day.
Okay? Right. Yeah.
And now it's like you get 3 weeks off in the summer and then let's go back to school again. You know?
Right. Summer is starting earlier and earlier, ending earlier and earlier.
I know.
And I remember being a teacher. Oh my gosh. When I was a teacher and I would just be getting out of end of the year in service, and I'd go to the beach and then I would want to go back to, you know, I've still got a few more weeks of summer vacation, and I go to Walmart and there's that dad blasted back to school sale in the middle of July, at the beginning of July. And you're just like, can I please just not be reminded, you know?
Oh, it's so true. Just a few weeks ago in July, I walked into a Michael's and the whole front of the store was Halloween.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I'm like, pumpkins. Can you just let me get through like the summer without giving me October 31st stuff?
It's not even It wasn't even 4th of July yet. No, when I was in the States, it was at the end of May. I saw pumpkins they were sneaking them around the back corner of Hobby Lobby. Pumpkins at the end of May. I saw a scarecrow peeking around the corner at me. And I'm like, get back in there. It's not even my birthday yet. Idiot.
I know, really. And I love fall. I mean, it is one of my favorite seasons of all, but obviously August in Chattanooga is not fall. It is hotter than hot. And nevertheless, it does change as we roll into the fall of the year, as we roll into school, as we roll into kind of coming out of those vacation mode times.
Yes.
We enter what's been called as a busy season, right? And that busy season kind of starts off as school starts and it rolls fully headlong until we crash into Christmas.
Right. And it's just, it is the season, and it's the waking up early and the meal prepping and the lunch preparing and the, you know, get the kids to all of the fall activities and the sports and the school. And even in our world, you know, understanding missionaries come back to, if they've been out for, you know, in the States for the summer visiting family, they're coming back into, you know, into the Dominican and setting them and kind of getting reacclimated. And then for you and me, a lot of times this is going to be the start of the season that we're, you know, traveling more, moving. I feel like the pace picks up a lot. Mm-hmm. Starting right now.
The speaking pace picks up drastically as everybody goes into those fall women's retreats, women's right. conferences, leadership mm-hmm. conferences, missions conferences, all right. of that gets kicked into full gear.
Yeah.
And so maybe you haven't picked up on what we're talking about today yet, but if you haven't, we felt like it was a great time to talk about breaking the busy addiction.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because here's the deal. I know, and I'm trying to break myself of this right now. I am in the middle of trying to break myself of this because inevitably somebody asked me, "Hey, Reba, how are you doing?
Mm-hmm.
How's it going?"
Yeah.
And I promise you, within 10 words, the word busy gets popped
yes.
out.
Yes. Yes.
Right?
I do that too. I'm like, oh, just been really busy. I'm trucking along is what I say.
Exactly. Right. And the word busy is in the first 10 yes. words of that sentence. And I'm really trying to get it off because, okay, everybody's busy, right?
Right.
We're all busy. But there is a point where busyness can be worn like a badge of honor.
Yeah.
Suddenly it means my life is valuable. It's important. Mm-hmm. I have important things to do. I have important right. people to see. I have a yeah. full schedule, you know, here I am, you know, and all of a sudden it could just become this thing.
Yeah. And it becomes part of our identity and who we are, as we are busy. We are this, we are that, we're needed. We're everywhere. Everybody wants to talk to us. Everybody wants, you know, everybody needs a piece. We've got our full schedule, and we look at that schedule, and I don't know, in the past when I've looked at a to-do list, I'm like, look at me, you know, I am just right. getting it done and I am just trucking along. And I think it can be glorified or we can think that I don't know. I just feel like there's a glorification in being busy that I know I've experienced it. And it is good to hear you say that you are literally trying to stop even how you respond to, you know, to communications. It's so important because we want a model. I feel like that's not the best discipline to be busy. I think it's maybe it's a lack of discipline.
You know, and I just feel like it's become this, sometimes it's just a filler word and other times it really, like you said, it gives off a vibe
yeah.
that we are in demand. Mm-hmm. We're just, you know, a martyr for the cause. Mm-hmm. We're just over here slaving away, whatever you want to say.
Right.
And I think what that implies, I think the problem with it is the deeper implication, because are we busy? Sure. We're all busy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The deeper implication, I think, is that busyness is elevated. And so if busyness is best, then rest is bad.
Yeah. Yeah. And the people,
people come up to you and be like, hey, how you doing? How's life going? Well, you know, honestly, I've just been on a sabbatical. I've done nothing for 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. I've taken a lot of naps, read a lot of books, just recharging my soul.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, you don't say that.
Of course you don't say that.
Come from women like I come from. I mean, my heritage of women is like, girl, don't sit down, get up, get a broom in your hand, sweep something, clean something. Something needs to be done.
Something
you don't
can
need
always
to be sitting
done.
There, right?
Right. Yeah. Exactly. And I feel like mom used to do it all the time. I would come home from the workshop and she would inevitably call at 2:45. And she was like, I'm like, I was napping. Oh, I'm so sorry. I'm like, no. I said, like, you do it every day. I'm taking a nap. But when do we, like you said, when do we answer the question with, hey, what have you been doing lately? I've been resting.
Right.
And just leave it. I think we should all try it for the next 10 days. It's just to say, people ask you to do it. I'm like, I'm having great rest. I'm having good naps. I'm having a great time just sitting and being. And we don't allow ourselves to say that. We don't allow ourselves to celebrate that either.
No. And I think even if we did, people would guilt us immediately. They would be like, oh, well, wow, I wish I had time to do that.
Yeah.
I wish I had to take naps, but I don't, da, da, da. And you can immediately know that even that comment makes you feel guilty.
Yeah.
And you want to respond, well, okay, well, I'm just teasing. Not really. I'm going night and day. I'm barely getting any sleep. It's up early, gone to bed late. I'm exhausted.
Yeah.
And somehow it's like,
you know, you're better than me. Yeah.
Right. No. So I think we really, 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 really have to get honest about what are what are our philosophy about busyness?
Yeah.
What is our value system around business? What are our thoughts and about it? And how do we address it in our lives? Or do we just collect it?
Yeah.
You know? Like, you can never have too much busyness. Let's get some more, you know?
Right. And that's so, it's so sad because I know people in their heads know that rest is important. People in their heads know that rest is biblical. Everybody says it. Everybody, they put it on t-shirts. Everybody knows, even Jesus took a nap during a storm. But in real life, you know, thinking about these conversations and thinking about, even if I say, yeah, I just had a great nap this afternoon, I have to follow it up with all the other things I'm going to get done in the evening, you know, that allow that nap to be possible, instead of just saying, you know, right now. And there's going to be seasons. We just talked about the seasonal busyness, where just things are busier, but it doesn't have to be a frantic type of busy. It can really just be, you know, more of a fullness. And we, you know, definitely want to talk about that. But people know, in our heads, we know that rest is biblical, but we're not living it out. And we're definitely not, like you said, we're not allowing others to live it out as well.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And I, like you said, you know, you don't have to walk, at least not in my city, you don't have to walk too far in my city before you're going to see somebody with a t-shirt that says something about be still and know that I'm God, or be still and there's, you know, flowers or something like that. You know, it's like a great t-shirt. And we know a lot of us know that verse.
Yeah.
I don't think any of us have a clue what it means.
Yeah.
But I think when you actually look the word up, you get the image of striving, like a tug of war that's being pulled, where you're pulling on one side, and you get this idea that it's just to relax your grip. And it's not that you go sit in a chair and do nothing. And I think for a long time, the devil's lied to us about what it means, what rest looks like, what busyness looks like, and what they mean to us. And I think we've misdefined it. And so because we've misdefined it, we don't know how to deal with it. So I think understanding that when God talks about be still and know that I'm God, what he's saying is quit gripping the rope as tight as you can grip it, and pulling as hard as you can pull it, because you can't sustain that. You need, I'm not asking you to sit down in a chair and do yoga. What I'm asking you to do is to lessen your grip on the rope and allow me to work in your life. And I think if we start to frame it like that, God is not telling us to go do nothing. Okay. Because everybody listening to this is going, well, it must be nice, but I can't do that. I have, I work, I have kids, I have this, I haven't. God's not saying don't do anything.
Yeah.
He's not saying go take a 3-week sabbatical and, you know, stare at the water. What is he saying then? And I think understanding where our striving comes from, where our tugging comes from, you know, Matthew, he says, come unto me, all you are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Well, that sounds great. It sounds like, just go take it off my neck, hand it to Jesus, and he's got it. But if you keep reading the passage, what you'll see is he says, get in the yoke with me.
Yeah.
And so it's not an idea that you don't do anything. It's an idea that you don't do anything by yourself.
Right. Exactly. And you're moving. The burden is shared, mainly sustained by, you know, because there is a yoke. That we're not saying take, he didn't say take the yoke off.
Correct.
He's saying there is a yoke, and it's going to be shared by both of us. And there, you know, the striving that Reba mentioned is, you know, is the grip is loosened, because then we can just have him take, you know, take the brunt of the busyness, or the energy that it takes to live. Because like, we cannot come to a screeching halt and just let everything pile up around us. That's not what he's saying.
Right.
He's saying there's a better way to do it. And the better way is with me. And the better way is to, you can be Martha at times, but you need to have Mary moments. He's not saying that Martha's bad. He's saying at the time, certain things, I'm a Martha fan. I like Martha, a big Martha fan. But so he's saying, you know, take some time for these merry moments, or take some time for, you know, and just understanding that we cannot, like Reba said, we cannot sustain this type of busyness. Because when think about, you know, and think about, I feel like there was one time when I was really busy, and I just needed I just needed to take some time to pray, and I wanted to sit down and pray. And as soon as I started praying, I was in my chair. I had my Bible. I had my highlighter. I had my candle. I had my coffee. I was going to have some time with Jesus, and the phone rang. And I don't know what I threw across the room, but I was so upset that, you know, that the phone, and when a phone call, just one tiny little ring of a phone, can totally upset the mood, then you're too busy. There's no margin for those things. You can't, there, if there's no margin, you can't move around, and things get, I mean, things get crazy.
No, absolutely. And I think that for a lot of us, the word addiction, I think, is important because sometimes we're just addicted to being busy. We're
We have to fill the
a yes
space.
machine. We say yes to everything.
Right.
We jump into everything. We exacerbate our problems in so many ways because of our inability to stop,
Right.
our inability to say no, our
Yeah.
inability to create boundaries, our inability to actually schedule
Yeah.
downtime, quiet time, you know, moments of peace. And I think a great question that I try to ask myself as much as possible in regards to this in my life is, before I say yes to something or before I
Yeah.
jump into something, okay, is this going to be something that is worth the work? Because I know it's going to require of me a
Yeah.
lot. I know I'm
Yeah.
going to be busy in the whatever I'm doing. So it's like, wait a minute, I'm going to be super busy. I'm going to have a lot going on. This is going to fill my time up and it's going to keep me from doing something else.
Yeah.
Or it's going to keep me from doing anything well.
Right.
So wait a minute, let's just don't quickly say yes. Like, wait a minute, let's just ask ourselves, is this going to help? Am I going to grow? Is this going to help my ministry grow? Is this going to help me grow? Where does this fit in? Because I think sometimes we don't even have a filter
Right,
for
yeah.
why we do or do not accept things or
Yeah.
why we say yes to things. There is no filter. We just allow it to come into our lives with no filter. And I think if you don't get anything out of this podcast, you can ask yourself, do I have a filter that I strain everything that comes into my life through before it's allowed to come in? And
Yeah.
if you say no, not really,
Yeah.
okay, this podcast is for you.
Right. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Stop, listen, take some notes, you know,
Get a
because
filter.
you need a filter. And whether it's, you know, it, like you said, is it a risk reward thing? Is it worth your energy? Is it worth the time? Is what the, you know, the outcome gonna be worth all of this? You know, because like you said, when you say yes to something, then you're saying no to something. You're saying no to rest. You're saying no to margin. You're saying no to another opportunity. So doing something else well that you've already been doing, you know, and is it, and ask you, is the outcome, and this is what I had to deal with, is the outcome, prideful? Is it, yeah, I want to do this because
Absolutely.
I'm the best at it, or I want people to know that I did it, or I want people to
Absolutely.
see that I'm doing it, or I, you know. And so that's a great, those are some great filter questions to say, okay, yeah, that's going to be a no from me. Or yeah, that's important. I can see that, you know, this is something that's in my mission or something that's already, you know, for your, like you said, it's great for the family. It's great for my, you know, for my community, for my friendships. This is something that's going to really pour into somebody else in a way that's worth it. So yeah, ask yourself, and these questions could be, there's some similarities, but there's some questions that might be different depending on who you are and depending on what your mission is. But you definitely want to strive for fruitfulness. This is where we're going with this filter. We want it to, whatever we say yes to has to kind of yield. Is it yielding fruit to last, or is it yielding just a tired, you know, tiny little pieces of Allie strewn all over the place, and you know, she's with marginless Allie is spread out, you know, too thin.
Yeah, and I, you know, the devil may not can get our souls, but he can sure wear us flat out.
Yeah, oh, absolutely.
And believing that all these things that we are so busy doing, we're supposed to be doing, and it's necessary and needed.
Right.
And, you know, if I don't do it, no, it won't be done right. And if I don't do it, who's going to do it, kind of thing. And we have to be careful that we don't fall into those patterns of being able to kind of, again, to be able to wisely see, whoa, wait a minute. I need to be more discerning
mm-hmm.
when it comes to my schedule or what I say yes to or whatever, so that I can say yes to things that are extremely
yeah.
important. I think, you know, people are always asking us, Allie, I know it's some of the, one of the number one questions we get. Is there a book for that? You know, and sometimes I'm like, yes, there is. And sometimes, but there's a great book. If you've never read Lisa Turkhurst's book, The Best mm-hmm. Yes,
yeah,
I would encourage you to get out and grab that book. It's an easy
yeah.
read. It's not hard. But The Best Yes by Lisa Turkhurst, it will really convict your soul on a lot of these areas of your life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think that it's a great deeper dive into what our podcast is trying to accomplish today. But, you know, because good things can become a distraction
yeah.
from the best thing.
Yeah, exactly.
I know, like, I've just come out of a season of writing. And I do believe that I'm supposed to write. And I believe God's call, part of my calling and my mm-hmm. purpose is to produce materials that would help people.
Right.
I believe that's part of my calling. And so I was like, okay, but writing is so hard because
yeah.
it requires a dedicated amount of time and it requires mm-hmm. focus and intention. And it never fails. When I go into a season of writing, there are so many opportunities that
yeah.
suddenly
yeah.
are now available to me.
Mm-hmm.
And it is so difficult because I want to do everything.
Yeah.
I do. I want to do it
yeah.
all. And I just love doing it. And I have to say no to things that I would want to do, that I would love to do, in order to say yes to getting this Bible study or this devotional
right.
or this book across the finish line.
Yeah.
And I think that, you know, when I understand that, you know,
yeah.
and then I come on the other side and you've got a product in your hand that hopefully is going to
mm-hmm.
empower and change people's lives. You're like,
right.
okay, that was worth it.
It was
but
worth
it's
it,
like,
right.
it'll never happen though. If I don't learn to say no to some really great things.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
And
I
disappoint
think that's the
some
point.
People.
Yeah. Right. I mean, you hit the nail on your head. Disappointing people. It's not, a lot of people don't want to do that. The reason they are saying yes is because that little face across the screen or that little,
yeah.
oh, you know, you're the best at it. You know,
yeah.
nobody can do this like you can, kind of a situation. And, but at the same time, like you said, I think your point that what you're saying yes to has to fit into what God has called you to do and what God has put you on this earth to do and part of your mission, you know, and that's why I said that to do. So if you are, I mean, if you're smack dab in the middle of, you know, kids everywhere, God has called you into motherhood and you've got these kids and you're, you know, somebody asks you these questions, you're being pulled for more, you know, more opportunities to serve at church or more opportunities, you know, a job or this or that. And you're like, no, my calling is, I mean, that's a great filter question for what is a good yes and what is, you know, what is a not worth it. And and I think that's important. So getting that calling or mission, whatever you want to call it, down and then saying, okay, that's how I can decide. And
mm-hmm.
even just looking at your daily life, I found we talked about the podcast earlier, that our planners are just sometimes full. And sometimes we look at our planners or our calendars, if you're a
mm-hmm.
digital calendar person or if you're a put it down on paper, whatever you do, if you look at that, you know, and you think, oh man, look how busy that is. Look how great that is. Look how, you know,
mm-hmm.
or, you know, do you look at it and say, look at all these opportunities that I have, you know, what can I take away? And I shared this with a friend earlier. There's so many things. Sometimes creating margin means looking at all the things and then just powerfully just saying, hey, I'm taking that off the table. I'm not doing that. And just kind of creating some breathing room. It's almost like, Okay, this is going to sound weird, but do you remember those old cans of Hershey syrup that you had to kind of pop the top on?
Oh yeah,
Do you
yeah.
remember? And you pour, and you couldn't pour it unless you pour, unless you pop the other side. Do you remember
Correct.
that?
Yes, so it
Okay.
creates the flow.
It creates the flow. You have to push, you have to create some space on one thing, on one side for the other side to function well. And I think that's what we're talking about is moving. So, I mean, leave it up to Allie to think of a
A
Hershey's
chocolate. I
syrup.
love it.
It's the old kind that, you know, and me people, you know, kids these days probably don't understand what I'm talking about. But this was, you had, and I never, my dad finally explained it. You have to create some space on one side so the air can push, you know, can push out the other.
Correct.
And
Yeah.
I
Now we have
think
a
that
plastic squeeze bottle. It just doesn't work that way, right?
nobody knows what we're talking about.
I
But
know.
at the same time, that is what we're talking about. When you, when you, when things are so full,
Right.
that it's that nothing's working. It's not, you're not fulfilling the goal. The goal of that Hershey syrup is to get out and to get on my Bluebell ice cream, vanilla ice cream, and create the best sundae. That is the mission and the goal, but I've got to create space for. And so sometimes our, we're so full that, like you said, we're not doing anything well. We're not, we're so busy. We're not doing anything well. Nothing. The things that the fruitfulness that's supposed to be coming out is not coming out. It's coming out in, you know, we're doing it, but we're doing it with a horrible attitude. We're doing it with just a lot of bitterness, or just a lot of pride. Look at me doing this. And it's like, let's get back to what the purpose of our calendar is and what the purpose of our days and our hours are, is to glorify God. And we're not doing that if we're too busy.
No, I agree. And I think also too, it's a another way of looking at our calendars. I think, historically, you put all the certain types of things get on the calendar, and then everything else you try to find margin for, right? And I really think it should be the opposite. And that is looking at the areas of your life that are most important to you. Okay. If you're married, your marriage should be one of those things. Your marriage should not be, we'll get to it if we get to it. All right. Your kids, if you've got children, like you said, that is a high priority for you. Or
It's
what I'm
calling.
getting ready to call a big rock, right? So the illustration, and it's so powerful about, how much can your jar hold? And it depends on if you fill your jar with all a bunch of other stuff, and then you try to put the big rocks in, they're not going in.
Something's
But
gonna
if you put
miss,
the big rocks in first, then there's amazing how much you can get in and around those big rocks. But I think a lot of us, we don't put the big rocks in first. We let other people dictate what goes in our jar, what fills our calendar, what fills our slots, and our big rocks never make it in there. And I think looking at our calendar now from a different perspective of our schedules and being intentional about, okay, wait a minute. I know a couple that I talked to not too long ago, and I just thought, you guys are onto something. I told them, in fact, I told them, I said, y'all need to do a seminar and start just talking about how y'all do this. They sit down once a quarter together. So 4 times a year, they have it on the calendar. Husband and wife, they sit down together and they have a family business meeting with the husband and the wife. And what they do is they look at their calendar for the next couple of months and they're like, okay, now what is important to our family? Like our marriage, our children, yes, we have to work, and yes, we do things at our church, and yes, da, 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 but wait a minute, we're going to be in control of what our family chooses to do and doesn't choose to do, and how much margin do we have to accept things in this particular season, in this quarter of our life. And they're like, one of the things they said is so powerful is that when they're done, they treat it like almost like a business meeting, the two of them together. And when they get done, every big rock for their kids, for their marriage, for other big things, they're in place. Now, those things are non-negotiables. Those things are in place for our family and for the success of our family, including times of getaways. All right, hey, my wife, we have a date night. They talked about how they schedule their date nights. They have family days. It's just, hey, we will accept nothing on this day. We will only today's family day. This is what we're gonna plan some things. We're gonna do some activities. We're just gonna spend time together as a family because we don't always, our kids are busy. They're getting to be teenagers. They're, blah, blah, blah. And like, and they talked about how they do this 4 times a year and how they put all the big rocks in. And then as things get opportunities to come in, now the big rocks are set.
Yeah,
So they
they're not
immediately
moving around.
know if something is going to ask for over a big rock, no.
Yeah,
Easy
yeah.
answer. Husband knows the answer, wife knows the answer. The answer is no.
Right. Yeah.
If it's oh, but oh well, we might have a little margin for this. Now they can sit down and say, okay, how exhausted are we? How stressed are we?
Yeah.
Where's our financial budget at right
Right.
now?
Yeah.
Where are we at? And now we make decisions on the yeses and the noes
Right.
that go in our lives during that season. And then he said, we always make mistakes, so we always course correct. When we sit down the next quarter, we
Yeah.
say, how did we do
Debrief.
last quarter?
Yeah. Right.
And we
Yeah.
say, oh, we messed up here. Let's fix that. Let's do better next time, blah, blah, blah. Or hey, we did pretty good this time around, or hey, man, we, blah, blah, blah. And he said, life always happens and you adjust to
Yeah.
those things. However, thought there was a lot of brilliance
Yeah.
in a family and a husband and wife who are this, and this is what he told me, and I loved how he said this. He said, we are the CEOs
Yeah.
of our lives and our family's
Yeah.
life. And Jesus is the boss.
Right. Yeah.
He's the owner. But we
The
are the
CEOs,
managers.
yeah.
So
Right.
we have a responsibility. And I love that, Allison, because I think
That's, yeah.
so many of us, we just let everybody and anybody throw everything and anything
Right.
into our jar. And
Yeah.
then we go, do I have time to have a
There's
date
no,
night with my husband? Do I have
right.
time to
Yeah.
spend some time with my kids? Well, I don't guess we do this month. Well, wait a minute.
Yeah.
What's more important?
And the difficult thing with that is, and this is what everybody's going to say, they're all, it's not like people, it's not like this is sin. It's not like all the little things that people are throwing at you are bad things
Right.
necessarily. They're just, it's, church opportunities and ministry opportunities and, different, a lot of little activity things.
Right.
None of them are bad. And so, but they become a stumbling block, I feel like, because it's like, okay, now there's no room for my kids, or there's no room for my husband. There's no room for, my original mission and calling. There's no room,
Right.
for this. And that's when it can become, it's definitely not a sin, but it's that weight that besets us and sets us aside and keeps us from running the race with
Yeah.
energy and with, with the Lord.
Right.
Because a lot of times we're doing this, we're making these decisions. And again, we're making these decisions without asking God. We're saying yes. And then you're like, oh God, should I really have done this? And so, you mentioned earlier the word addiction. And I do feel like, especially in our church culture, this busyness and this looking like we're so, busy and things, it is an addiction. And so we can talk about maybe some of the warning signs. What does it look like? And I remember, this is one of the things that I remember, and I've told you this story before, but I had promised, because everybody was some a friend of mine had a baby. And everybody had promised a meal to her. And I put myself on the meal train, and I looked at where I remember, like, I don't know when I'm gonna get to do this, but I'm gonna put myself on the meal train. And so when I was in the Capitol, I was driving through the Capitol, and I remembered, I'm like, oh no, I'm all on the meal train today, so I'm gonna get her something. And so I remember actually getting mad at my friend who just had a baby, because I had committed to getting her a meal from a specific location, which the traffic in the Dominican is horrible sometimes. And I'm sitting in traffic, upset at her, because I said yes, and I said, oh, what do you guys want? And they wanted a specific meal from a specific place. And I'm like, I can do that. That's no, look at me, I'm the best person ever. And then I'm actually mad at her because I overcommitted myself. That is a warning sign that you're saying yes too much, when you resent the commitments that you've already made. Like, before you even start the commitment, you're already angry, and you can feel your and you can and you're and so you enter this commitment, you enter this, whether it's a discipleship conference or whether you said, I'm going to do snacks at this, you're showing up already mad. That is, and I know everybody's done this. I know there's people listening who are like, oh, I've been there. I promised to do snacks for my kids' soccer team, and I showed up, and I'm like, they better like this handmade granola gluten-free paleo version of some orange slices. They better like it or not, you know. That shows you're too busy. That attitude right there.
No,
That's a
oh
warning
yeah.
sign.
Or when you feel like you have to lie, that you have something going on and you can't just say no. I think that's another a little link sign that there
A
may
little
be
red
something
flag.
going on wrong in our own minds about,
How busy you are.
hey, can you guys come and do, well, no, we'd love to, but Aunt Hilda, we promised, didn't we, honey?
Right.
Oh,
I have a
yeah,
schedule.
yeah, we
Yeah,
did.
that
We
thing,
promised. We
right?
sure we did. And it's a lie, but you feel like you can't say no and not have a reason. Like, you can't just say, no, we won't be able to do
No, we
that.
won't be able to.
And yes, are people going to
You
look
don't have
at
to
you?
give a reason. You always feel like you
Hmm.
have to give a reason. It's like, no, we can't, we can't.
Thank you, but we're
Period.
not going to be able to do it this time around.
Yeah.
The end. But you can
Full
always
stop.
tell when we're caught in this trap, when we feel like we've got to make something up to get us out of leg so it's legitimate. It's the way it feels. I have to legitimize my no. No, you don't. You have
No,
a
you
legitimate
don't.
reason why you're saying no. And you ought to be able to say no.
Say
Um,
no.
you know, even if you don't have an
Full
appointment,
stop. Right.
or if you have, there is no
No,
Aunt
it's like you want to say, oh,
Hilda.
I've got a scheduled migraine for next Thursday, so I'm not going to be able to make it. No, just say
Right.
no. Yeah. And
Absolutely.
take that no back and be okay with it.
Yes.
Because yeah, we do kind of try to, we're like, oh, do I have an excuse? I'm trying to find an excuse. What am I, need to buy myself a couple of days on this. No, just say, hey, no. Thank you.
And I think if we're too busy to be in the Word, if we're too busy to have a spiritual discipline, and the spiritual disciplines are gone. If we look at our schedule right now, we're like, okay, I don't know how long it's been since I had a time of prayer with God, and I don't know when the last time was I really got into the Word and spent some time. Okay, guess what? You're too busy, and or let me put it this way: you have prioritized incorrectly.
It's not, you're not too busy. You've just prayed. Yeah, put your priorities.
Get the
Yes.
big rocks in
Get the bigger,
first
right. Exactly.
and reorganize, restructure, because, like we said, everybody's busy. But we all have the same amount of time and hours in our day. And I think a good question is, who do I give the best version of me to?
And right now, I think God's getting the leftovers if he's getting anything,
If he's getting
and
anything, and
there's if
sometimes
he's
our
getting
families
anything.
get
Families get the
the
leftovers.
worst version of us. And it's like, wait a minute, well, then who gets the best? Well, it's a lot of times it's people we don't even really care about. And it's like, wait a minute, I do have to work a job, and this is what this looks like, but I gotta rearrange my rocks, because the people who ought to get the best of me ought to be the people that I love dearly and God has given me
God has
to
called me
care
to
for and
serve.
love and
Yeah,
steward.
exactly.
And I think on the practical side of this, once we realize our problems, okay, once we see, okay, these are some of my issues, I recognize in it. Now, what do I do? I think we now have to have a reset. And I think we have to be intentional. And it doesn't mean you have to go buy, a expensive calendar plan, but it may mean that you need to do a reset and think about like your life differently. And look at what are the rhythms of your life? What does it look like? Where are your time blocks at? And how do you fill them? When are you resting? When are you unplugging? When are you spending time with your family? And figuring out those things, and learning how to say no, because you have already made another commitment, and that commitment was to whatever, your family, your husband,
The big rock.
your spiritual time.
And I think it is important. I've my Garrett, my husband, walked somebody through, and it was a missionary who's just gone through some constant exhaustion. And he was walking through, okay, tell me what your days look like. What do your days look like, and where is your energy, going, whether it's mental, emotional energy, just your thoughts, and where is just physical energy, where is it going? And it was interesting just to even sometimes even putting it on paper, how you spent your day. And okay, you come, so you're tired. But what tired you out? And looking at that time and some of it, and this might surprise you, some of it might have been those idle moments either on social media or on, that's where your time and energy has gone. And so then you're rushing other things. And so then there's it takes, and so even taking stock of, I'm sure there's an app for this somewhere. I know there is, but don't do that. Just take a pencil and paper. Really work
Right.
really well. I feel like the older I get, the more I love a pencil and paper. Less apps, more,
Yes.
more pencil and paper.
They're
But at the
cheaper
same
too.
time, yeah, it is cheaper. And I think it's one of those things that when you do take stock and maybe do an audit of your time, you can really kind of and prayerfully go over and say, okay, Lord, help me get out of this, or help me prioritize better the next time around. Help me learn when to put these margins in place.
And no, maybe nobody is like this, but I'm going to tell you one place I really this showed up in my life big time. And that was the energy. You mentioned energy a while ago. I'm a fixer, problem solver. It's kind of in my nature. And but Allison, I recognized the fact in myself about 5, 6, maybe more years ago that I was solving problems that weren't mine. I get on a phone conversation with somebody, and all of a sudden they'd be sharing their problems, their circumstances, their situations, or even telling me a story about somebody else's. And suddenly my energy level is dedicated to deciding how they could solve that problem and what they need to do. And I realized, you know what, they haven't even asked me to solve this problem. Nobody has, wants me to solve this problem. And here I am giving my emotional energy to something that is, and I adopted this phrase during that season, and it is something I have tried to live by. Not my monkeys, not my circus. This is not my problem to solve. What in the world am I doing? They're stealing my energy. It's either upsetting me, or it's causing me to feel stress, or any of those things, and it's robbing me of energy that needs to be put somewhere else. And I had to just like, okay, if I see a conversation going that way or a situation, it's not that I want to make sure I frame this correctly, because it's not, well, Reba doesn't care about people and she doesn't listen to other people's lives and stories. That's not what I mean. But I don't have to solve everybody's problems.
It is not your problem. So many times we do need to recognize this was not your problem to solve. This is not your, this is not
No.
your wedding to plan. This is not your,
No.
activity to step into. And, hey, just tell me about it. And, and so then you're right, because I think some of us are fixers. And I'm not necessarily a fixer. I'm more of a, I'm more of a, I don't know what the word is. Well, I just don't say no. If somebody asks me to help, I'm like, sure, I'll do it. And I don't step into, but I will literally say, I used to, I don't anymore. I used to say yes to everything. Now I can be like, I'm sure there's other people. And I feel like the first time I took my hands off of church Christmas decoration,
I remember that. I remember us talking about that.
it was a big deal, because it's like, okay. And so we walked in, and it's definitely not how I would have done it. However, everybody loved it. And so it's like, why, then it's okay. That was because the outcome is not how I feel about the Christmas decorations. The outcome is really how the church in general felt about the outfit. And if they're okay, if they love it, then that's one less thing that I had to worry about. But I had made it kind of my identity to be, I'm the church decorator, I'm this, I'm that. And it's literally not. It's and the other thing that helped me out so much was, are there eternal consequences to saying yes or no to this?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's so important because, it's like, wait a minute, again, let's go back to the big rocks, right? We know what we're called to, what our purpose is, what we're supposed to live towards. And it's like, okay, wait a minute. And that's why I think we have to take a moment to stop and reflect. And I think that's why the importance of identifying God's calling on our life, who he's put in our lives, what we've decided. If we go back and evaluate all of that and we understand what that is ahead of time, then we put the big rocks in. Then once the big rocks are in, now you know, I don't get caught into what I think is, you know, the hustle of life, where I feel like I am just, you know, the better you multitask, the better you hustle, the better kind of the better person you are.
Right.
And I think we get caught and lured into those traps so easily to say, whoa, whoa, wait a minute now. Wait a minute. What is my calling? What is my purpose? What are my big rocks? Have I, let's get all that into place.
Which circus is mine?
And then allows me to be like, you know what? This does not have eternal consequence on this thing.
Right. Yeah.
You know, this is just a thing. It's a Christmas decoration.
Right.
You know, and at the end of it all, whether it looks like I would have done it or it looks, or you know, or it looks like something different, at the end, it don't matter. So I think that's where, when we can get to those points where we are not, and you know, I think, Allison, we all struggle with it. It becomes, you said it becomes our identity.
Yeah.
And when it, and those are warning signs for us, when busyness becomes an identity for us, when a role becomes an identity for us, when a, you know, when all of a sudden, you know, we can't let go of little things, because little things have become more important than what they should have should be in our lives. Then we're messed up. You know, we're messed up. And you know, and I think getting our philosophy correct then allows us to choose wisely, and that helps us in the in the way we set our calendars and our daily lives, which helps busyness. But then I also think philosophically, there, I do think there is a philosophy to how you live your life. And philosophically, I think we look at the life of Christ. And we see the pace of Jesus's ministry. And we know it was incredibly busy in seasons because he had to go away to rest on a mountain. And if you pace his ministry out through the gospels, you can see that some days were just unbelievable what all Jesus did in a day.
In a day. Right. Yeah.
But so it's not to say, well, Jesus just kind of,
he sat around
life, right?
Yeah, no.
No, he did not. And that's not our calling either. But at the same time, he pulled away alone.
Right.
With just a couple of disciples.
Mm-hmm.
He pulled away. He rested.
Recharged. Unplugged,
He recharged. He walked back in. And I think there's something that we can learn from that, the pace at which Jesus walked, even though it was a busy pace of life, there was intentionality in so much that he did. Every conversation, every connection, every out of the way journey through Samaria or through here was intentional.
Right.
And I think that we need to be intentional as well. And if we get more like that, I feel like we lose the addiction.
Yeah.
And we lose the, we gain the ability now to take control back of the things that seems to have taken control of us.
Yeah. And I think looking at how we, as we're trying to reset, and as we're looking at how Christ rested, he rested, and it's, and seeing it as an obedience, seeing it as this is something that we must put in place. Mm-hmm. Don't look at it as laziness. We have to kind of switch our minds from sitting and reading a book, or sitting and and resting, or sitting with family and playing a game, or sitting and having coffee with a friend, or sitting and having coffee by yourself, is not that, that's intentional rest. It's not being lazy. Mm-hmm. It's recharging, because that's, you've got to get that energy back up for the next thing that God's going to bring along that is in his mission and in his calling for us, instead of just, and we've got to, you know, be addicted, you know, stop being addicted, or stop being obsessed with hustling and multitasking and all of those things. One thing at a time, one step at a time, one round at a time, according, if we want to quote Rocky in this, you know, one step at a time, one punch at a time, one round at a time, just once at one. And I will always quote Rocky, but at the same time, there is something to be said about just pushing forward, but intentionally, not just grabbing all of the things that you can and just saying yes to it. And then at the end of the day, not having any energy for the important, for, like you said, the big rocks.
Yeah, and again, if you're trying to figure out, well, is this really biblical? Because I know a lot of us in our church circles have been taught it's not. He who works the hardest, the longest, and passes
Is the
out the
best
quickest is
is
the
the
most
best Christian.
spiritual, right? And that's just a lie. And if you don't believe it, go look at the creation in Genesis to a God who did not need to rest, but who created a day of rest. On the seventh day, he rested as a sign of the completion of his work, but also as a sign of a pause. And it was set as an example for us. Jesus included Sabbath rest in the laws of Israel for them as an ex as a as a intentionality for them to set apart and to have community and to fellowship and to enjoy one another and to take a day to rest and to reset. And so and we continue to see this through the principles of Scripture. And so, if you want to look at what does the Bible say, you can find this principle all throughout Scripture that Jesus created this pause. And if we're not putting that in our lives, because for most of us, especially in ministry, Sunday is no day of rest. And so what does that look like then for you? And how do you prioritize that? And how do you say no? And how do you reevaluate? So I would encourage you, if you feel like you might be showing some signs of busyness addiction, then this is a great moment before it gets worse to just spend some time prayerfully asking God to show you, evaluating your life and the choices that you make every day, maybe having some conversations with your spouse about this topic and talking about how that looks as it rolls out through your family, and then maybe starting with yourself. And then rolling it out into a family thing, begin to put your big rocks in place. And these non-negotiables, things that have to be there, things that you that are valuable and eternal, stick them in there. And then what you have room for, add.
Exactly. And do this mindfully, do this prayerfully. And that's the way that you can create that margin and really just move from being busy to being fruitful.
Absolutely. And that's what growth is really all about. So take some hard steps this week, take some growth steps this week, and find yourself successful in ways that might surprise you as you release this busyness, addiction, a grip that's on your life. So until next time, stay rooted deep.
Thank you for listening to Rooted Deep. To learn more about Dare for More Ministries, go to dareformore.org and look up Mercy Workshop at mercyjewelry.org.